We're joined on the phone by Tracy DeAngelis, who is in Los Angeles at a protest at the Israeli consulate regarding the war on Gaza. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, George. How are you?
Not too happy. So tell me, how many people are at the protest there?
In keeping accounts, and they just said that we're probably getting close to the 2,000 mark. And I don't know if people know Los Angeles block, but the blocks in Los Angeles are rather long, and we're taking up three whole blocks in downtown Los Angeles in front of the Israeli consulate. So easily close to 2,000 people, and people are still coming.
And what kinds of activities are taking place there?
Right now what you're hearing is there's a big, huge red bus that's got a number of people on it who appear to be supporting Palestine, although I don't see any flags. But what's happening every so often, cars, it's a very, very busy street, Wilshire Boulevard. So you'll see cars coming up and down, mostly with folks who are in support of the Palestinian side of this demonstration. There is a counter demonstration going on across the street with, apparently it's one organization called Stand With Us. And there's about maybe 75 of them. They seem to have peaked about 45 minutes ago, and their numbers don't seem to be growing.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that organization. They think that Jordan should be the, quote, Palestinian state.
I'm sorry, George, I can't hear you.
I said that organization, Stand With Us, they think that Jordan should be the Palestinian state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's one of their...
With this organization.
Yeah, they're very, very right-wing. So
I would like to tell you what some of their signs say.
Go ahead.
Which is what, unfortunately, people driving up and down Wilshire also say. One of their signs says, Israel is doing the work of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's another sign that says, stop teaching your children to kill Jews. Stop using Gaza as an excuse for terrorism. And other than that, it's just an array of different Israeli flags, American flags. But again, their numbers are minimal compared to what is on the side of the street that I'm sitting in.
So among the, you say close to 2,000 people now.
I think easily 2,000.
Okay, what kind of signs do people have that are support, that are against what's happening in Gaza?
There's a big sign that says Omer and Bush are war criminals. It's a large banner. There seems to be a lot of banners here that were probably made pretty recently. Free Palestine in Arabic and in English. End the bombing of Gaza now. Some beautiful artwork on another banner with a woman with a keffiyeh covering her face. There are several signs from the Answer Coalition, signs directed towards Barack Obama saying to keep his promise of changing the policy in the Middle East. There are a lot of children here, a lot of parents with their children, a lot of Arab people. I'm assuming mostly Palestinian, but probably others as well.
Are you going to be marching, or is it pretty much concentrated in one area?
Right now it seems that we're just going to be standing here. I don't know. But it's growing. There are still people coming from both directions. I'm actually sitting on a ledge that's about probably 8 feet above the ground, so I have a pretty good bird's eye view of what's happening on all around me.
And this go ahead.
No, go ahead.
This is at the Israeli consulate.
It's at the Israeli consulate. It was actually happening early enough where people who were working inside the building had to actually come out through the crowd. Many of them were escorted by security or police, unnecessarily so, I believe. There was nobody that was going to harm them in any way, maybe engage them in a conversation, but it's been a peaceful demonstration. It's passionate. I'm sure you can hear what's going on here. It's just a continuation of what was happening last night. night in San Francisco. People are angry. People are frustrated. People are coming out because I think they think it's what they need to be doing right now.
I'm going to be trying to reach San Francisco. There's another demonstration tonight at the Israeli consulate there. So I'm probably going to go ahead and try to reach someone at that demonstration. I just want to give you a chance to say any final thoughts before we wrap up.
Well, I think the people of Santa Cruz have a pretty good idea of what's happening in the Gaza Strip. I would ask that the people of Santa Cruz get out into the streets, talk to your families, talk to your friends, talk to your people at work. Get yourself information outside of the mainstream media. Talk to people who have an idea about what's going on in the region. Now is the time that if we want to shift the policy in the Middle East, now is the time. And it's not going to happen without us putting a lot of pressure on the new administration. I believe that Obama will toe the party line unless we put a lot of pressure on him and his administration, especially his having appointed Hillary Clinton and Rahm Emanuel. We're going to have an uphill battle, but I think if we all, people in Santa Cruz, people in the Bay Area, people in Los Angeles, people throughout this country, if we get together and put pressure on people in all levels of Obama's administration, we have to push the tide. It has to come from us.
A good starting point for that would be the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. Their website is endtheoccupation.org. They have an open letter to the transition team and to Barack Obama to make a shift, a total change in policy. People should go there and sign on to that letter as a starting point. Thank you so much for joining me, Tracy.
Oh, yeah. I think you just said thank you, but I can't hear you. But thank you, George. And
right.
I will be in touch if anything changes here.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Call back.
Take care.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. I'm going to be trying to get someone on the phone from San Francisco at the protest at the Israeli consulate there right now. That was Tracy DeAngelis, an activist who's at a protest in Los Angeles at the Israeli consulate there. As you heard, close to 2,000 people calling for an end to the war on Gaza that's already taken the lives of close to 400 Palestinians, injured 1,500 or more, 200 of which are in critical condition in hospitals that are absolutely lacking the basic medical supplies and blood and et cetera. And even the San Jose Mercury News today reporting that at least 62 women and children, Palestinian civilians, at least 62 women and children killed. 5 daughters from one family when they struck a mosque that was next door to their house. They've blown up the university in Gaza City. They've been hitting pharmacies and other civilian targets, all the while saying they're avoiding civilian casualties. People in Gaza have, to my knowledge, no bomb shelters. They're hiding in stairwells and other unsafe areas because they don't know where another missile, U.S. missile, really. I mean, this is F-16s and Apache helicopters, weaponry that's made here in the U.S. This is our tax dollars. We really need to know about these things and also take action, as Tracy was saying, be calling on Obama to change these policies. Again, go to the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation website at endtheoccupation.org to sign on to an open letter to Barack Obama to change these policies. Hang on momentarily while I try to reach somebody in San Francisco at the protest there at the Israeli consulate. Thanks.
Take you a little bit higher. We'll be right back.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. Streaming online at freakradio.org. We're now joined on the phone by Lisa. She is an activist at a protest in San Francisco at the Israeli consulate there. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me. Can you describe the situation there?
Yeah, there's about, I'd say close to 1,500, maybe more, people in the street. Just until about 5 minutes ago, everybody started congregating around 5 p.m. And about 5 minutes ago, some of the Palestinian and Arab youth entered the intersection right outside the Israeli consulate on Sacramento and Montgomery, and people have taken the protest into the street. So there's traffic is stopped. A lot of passersby are joining the protest, and there's 1,500 or maybe more people out. Lots of Palestinian flags, lots of signs, an eye for an eye makes the world go blind, free Palestine. There's a lot of counter-protesters as well, but they're about 400, and they're opposite the Israeli consulate.
So, what are the...
So far, it's been peaceful as far as arrests and police control of the crowd. So, it's been peaceful so far.
And what are the demands the protesters there at the consulate are making?
The protesters are basically calling for stopping the bombing of Gaza, stopping killing innocent civilians, ending Israeli occupation, stopping U.S. aid to Israel, and stopping state-sponsored terrorism.
So can you still hear me? It's pretty loud. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So, Lisa, you've spent a great deal of time over in both Israel and in the occupied territories, and you're a Jewish American activist, peace activist, right?
Yes.
Can you talk about some of your personal feelings and response to this latest action by Israel and how it relates to your own maybe family history and identity?
Yeah, well, I was raised in a Jewish family. I was raised in the war movement. And I didn't really know that I had such strong feelings for Israel until I went there when I was 16 on an organized trip by the Jewish community in San Francisco. I was raised in the Bay Area, and I was brought on my first to Mount Herzl, which is Theodore Herzl, where he's buried, and was introduced to Zionism as a political belief for a Jewish state and a Jewish homeland. And the last day of our trip, we ended up at the military cemetery, which was on the same location as Mount Herzl, basically sort of explaining how people have given their lives for the existence of the Jewish state. And I, at that time, felt really strongly about joining the Israeli army and that it was my responsibility as a Jewish person to fight for the existence of the Jewish state. And as I grew up, and I ended up going to Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz, for school, and was fortunate enough to spend my year abroad in Israel, where I studied in a program with Palestinian students as well as Israelis, and basically had my first exposure to a different historical narrative than the one that I was raised with, which let me see another side of what the War of Independence was, and understood that there were a refugee population that was created at the same time, and it is continues to be the longest refugee crisis in the world. And that just opened my eyes and made me realize that, I didn't really get a fair picture of what was happening. So that experience made me want to go and spend more time there and learn a bit more. And I have led a number of delegations with Global Exchange and the Interfaith Peace Builders, and I volunteered with the International Solidarity Movement. I worked with the Alternative Information Center, an affiliate of Palestinian Joint Organization, and have just, you know, as a Jewish person who has a strong sense of social justice, you know, justice was really at the center of my Jewish values and upbringing. And, you know, to see what was happening, my first time that I was in the West Bank in 2001, I was shocked and horrified, and I just couldn't believe it. I was really, really, I mean, you know, I'd heard about it from my Palestinian friends, but it was a whole other thing to see it and to come face-to-face with Israeli soldiers, you know, who I very well could have been one, you know, and to just see how they were preventing Palestinians from living their lives. And it just is so contrary to my understanding of values as a Jewish person. And my grandparents are Holocaust survivors. You know, they definitely left with me a tenet of a need to, you know, protect the voiceless and, you know, to be counted and to be visible as a person of justice and to carry that forward and not allow what happened to my family to happen to anybody. And so it's really amazing to be out on the streets with a bunch of people tonight who are, you know, making visible what the media is trying to cover up of what's going on and reframe it into what it actually is, which is Israeli state terrorism against the civilian population.
But what about the rockets? What about the fact that the United States and Israel are pointing the finger at Hamas and saying, well, you know, this wouldn't be happening if you hadn't fired rockets into southern Israel? And since this has began, I believe about 4 Israelis have been killed. And prior to that, I think about 5 had been killed by the rockets. So
yeah.
How do you react to that argument?
I mean, my feeling is that, you know, if you take a population and you build a wall around them and you seal off any access that they have to the outside world and any access that the outside world has to them, including humanitarian aid, you know, 80% of the Palestinians living in Gaza are living below the poverty line, which is $2.30 a day. You know, they're totally starved. Their economy has been strangled. There have been numerous attacks. They've been out of electricity. There's raw sewage in the streets. You know, there's been a major siege of Gaza going on for years now. And, you know, these are refugees from 1948. The majority of the population in Gaza is a refugee population. And if you oppress people, you can't expect that they're going to sit and be quiet. And, you know, I don't support the killing of civilians. And yet, at the same time, I definitely understand why there's outrage and why people would choose to protect the country, you know, which is essentially what the Palestinians in Gaza, who have chosen to, you know, to fire into Israel, are doing. And
couldn't that same argument be used to support the Israeli missile attacks, to say that they're just defending their country, their people?
Well, there's definitely an issue of proportionality, you know, and I don't think that continuing to oppress another people will ever make Israel a safe country. And, you know, the fact that Israel uses the security of its civilians to do horrific and, you know, very destructive attacks against civilian population is never going to create safety for Israel.
So have you been in touch with anybody in Gaza or in the West Bank, in the area, or in Israel for that matter, about what's happening?
I have been in touch with some friends in the West Bank, but, I myself have only been to Gaza once in my life. And since then it's been inaccessible. I spent time primarily from 2002 to 2005, and in 2003, after Rachel Corrie and Tom Herndahl were killed, there was a clear closure of Gaza for foreigners. And from that time, I haven't tried to enter. So I don't have friends there, but I have spoken with people in the West Bank, and people really feel like this the attack on Gaza is an attack on Palestinians everywhere.
My understanding, too, is that there's been some protests in the West Bank, and at least one 16-year-old boy in the lane was killed with live fire from Israeli military for protesting what's happening in Gaza. And then not long ago, there was also a 16-year-old boy killed in Belain in a protest against the construction of the wall. So, you know, and I'm not sure if there's been other deaths in the West Bank, but there has been a lot of protests. And the Israeli army, to my understanding, has been responding with a lot of pretty severe force. Is that what you've been hearing?
Yeah. When I was living in the West Bank and there were attacks in Gaza, the whole West Bank shut down in solidarity with what was happening in Gaza. And this is something completely different because people are, they're not only shutting down and respecting those that have been killed, they are resisting as well. And there has been an excessive use of force in the West Bank. As you said, you know, one person in Nalin was killed. Another one was very critically injured in his head, but that was just in one village. And these attacks have been happening, these protests have been happening all over inside Israel as well as the West Bank and all over the Arab world. But in Israel and the West Bank, soldiers have been using live ammunition against the protesters. And that's something that hasn't been seen since, you know, maybe a couple years ago when an Israeli activist was killed at one of those demonstrations. Usually they're using their supposedly non-lethal forms of crowd dispersal, like rubber bullets, which have also killed a number of people. But they are now just point-blank using live ammunition against Palestinians in the streets.
So I just want to ask you one more question because I know that you probably need to go. What do you think the best thing people could do right now? Maybe there's a number of different things you want to suggest, but somebody out there who's horrified by what's happening and wants to act but maybe isn't so certain what the best thing to do is right now. Do you have some suggestions?
Yeah, I do. Well, first of all, let me give you a quick update. We are walking down, the demonstration has left the Israeli consulate, and the crowd is walking down Montgomery Street toward Market Street. So there are, you know, over 1,000 people in the street, and traffic is stopped on California Street, and we're about to come up on Market Street in a minute. So I'll keep you posted if anything else happens.
Okay.
But as far as where people can go to get involved or get more information, I mean, definitely look on the U.S. Campaign to End the Occupation has a lot of actions, and they have a lot of different groups that are part of the U.S. campaign. So they're across their national organization that's working to organize in the United States against, you know, bipartisan lobbying our elected officials. You can find your elected official and talk to them about what's going on and what you want the new administration to take on as issues, you know, put this at the forefront. Barack Obama hasn't said anything about what's happening here or what's happening in Gaza. So that would be one place to look. People should try to get involved in local efforts to de-shelve Israeli products from their stores. You know, these are... I'm sorry. I have to go for a moment.
Oh, that's okay. If you get the chance to call back and give an update, that would be good.
Okay, I will.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sorry.
Right. It's okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you. That was Lisa Nessen. She's in San Francisco at the Israeli consulate, where close to 1,500 people are demonstrating against the war and the siege on Gaza. A moment, about 10 or 15 minutes ago, we spoke with Tracy DeAngelis, another activist who's in Los Angeles at the Israeli consulate there, where she says the Answer Coalition is saying 2,000 people there protesting also the siege on Gaza. We'll try to keep you updated.